Going to look at the words that Mike read back in Luke. Last week we looked at Mary's faith, how she remarkably believed what the angels said. She took it and had faith, believed that what the angel had said was going to be true, that she was going to conceive, even though she was a virgin, and beyond that she was going to conceive the Son of God. And following on from that, she goes to Elizabeth, who was barren, but is going to have a baby herself. And there's this union of them coming to do, celebrating their faith. And then Mary bursts out in song. Well, in preparing this message, I was helped by a man called Matt Boswell. So I want to reference that at the start. But one question for you as we begin. What do Christians do that Muslims, Buddhists, even Rastafarians don't? I'll read that question to you again so you have a little think. There's probably lots of answers you could give, but what do Christians do that Muslims, Buddhists, even Rastafarians don't? I wonder if you've got any answers. Well, the answer is we gather to sing. Those groups never gather to sing, but when we gather, we sing. If you come to church most weeks on a Sunday morning, you will spend in a year between 20 to 30 hours singing. If you come in the evening as well, you can double that. And if you go to a midweek group as well, wow, you're going to be spending near 50 to 60 hours of a year singing. Glad I haven't got a recording of that. Because it's not about the quality of our singing, is it? It's not that we would sound lovely, but the Lord hears it as lovely. I've heard lots of messages. I've been in churches, and I've been in church quite a long time. I've gone to conferences. I cannot recall one preach that was based on singing. Can't think of one. But what do we do every time we come to church? Sing. Well, you might say that's because the focus of every passage in the Bible is Jesus. That's why you haven't heard a message on singing. Well, yes, I say amen to that. Amen. All of the Bible is about Jesus. Then every verse points to our Saviour. And we have that here. We have that Jesus is the focus of these passages. It's his incarnation, him becoming a man. It's the celebration of the Saviour being born. That is really the focus. However, singing is what the saved do. Jesus has saved us from our sin, and that's why Mary is singing here. She sings because of the birth of Jesus. She's singing because of Jesus. Now, there is a pop song. I don't know how popular it was back in the day, but some songs you just get in your head, don't they? And you've just got the lyrics for no reason. Well, I've got this lyric, and it's this. We'll be singing when we're winning. And that's one of the reasons the Christians sing, isn't it? We've won, haven't we? We have a victory over sin. We have a victory over death. As the Christian message is good news, therefore we'll be singing when we're winning. We've won. We sing. Which reminds me, if you've ever been to a football match, of a football chant, less of a song, it's more of a chant, isn't it? Do you know what it is? You're not singing anymore. You're not singing anymore. You've chanted it, haven't you, Janet? You've shouted it and pointed the finger over the other fans. And why is that? Why are you singing that? Well, it's because they were winning, but now they're drawing or losing. So they're not singing anymore, are they? It's fell silent. When I went to Wembley in the summer when Luton played, it was the noisiest and the quietest place I've ever been to. Because it was just noise. And when we scored, all I could hear was massive noise. But then when we let a goal in, it went... About 50,000 fans went quiet. But then you can hear 50 other 1,000 fans over there going bonkers. Wow. But we sing because we're winning. So Christians sing because we have a victory to sing about. We've won something, therefore song bursts forth. And Mary is singing here because of this child, Jesus. And in this scene, Elizabeth, who is also to give birth to John the Baptist, she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. Wow. You think of being Mary for a minute. Your head. I am the mother of the Lord? It's very confusing, isn't it? What's going to have to comprehend in her head that she's a virgin, yet she's conceived, and she's conceived the Son of God. And even Elizabeth calls her the mother of my Lord. This is a miraculous reality. Jesus born to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Grace, mercy, forgiveness all come from Jesus. Jesus is the reason Mary sings. Verse 46 to verse 55 are the words of the song. But some people might question, well, is it a song? Because if you look in the text, it just says, Mary said, or Mary says. So why are we saying it's a song? Well, the poetry in there is very similar to the poetry you find in Psalms. And the poetry in Psalms are types of songs. That's what songs are. They're music put to poetry. So it's very likely that Mary sang these words. And that's why, if you look in your Bible, it's why that the text is slightly different. It's laid out in a poetic way rather than just in lines when you're looking at content of what's going on. It's a different type of genre. It's a song. In Psalm 96, verse 1 to 3, we said this is told to us. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Jesus is the reason that Mary sang. Jesus is the reason that we sing. Now, when I use the word sing, I mean sing praises to God. I don't mean singing in general. That's the reason we gather to celebrate, to sing towards Jesus. So 2 points we're going to look at this morning. First point, we sing as an act of worship towards Jesus. So in the text, it reads in Luke 1, 46, 47, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. So her singing here is towards Jesus, it's towards heaven, it's towards God. The word glorify is sometimes translated magnify. What is magnify? Made large. You know, a magnifying glass, you know, you want to look at something, you want to make it look bigger, you magnify it, make it bigger using a magnifying glass. My soul magnifies the Lord. So we sing towards heaven, to enlarge heaven in our hearts and on our minds. And as we do it, as we sing towards heaven and we want to see something, say how glorious and good God is, in doing that, we get a little glimpse of Jesus himself. It reminds us of who he is. So our singing is an act of worship, which is primarily heavenward. Hear this verse from 1 Peter and think, is this speaking of me? We go 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Though you have not seen him, that's Jesus, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him. Does that sound like you? Though you have not seen him, like in the flesh, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, in the flesh before you, you believe in him. I'd say yes. That sounds like where I am. That's my faith. Then the next part of the verse, does this sound like you? And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Oh. I could say yes to the first bit. I haven't got eyes that have seen him in the flesh. I don't see him right before you now, but I know he's here by his spirit, and I believe in him and I trust in him. Am I filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy? I'm more of a bar humbug, maybe. I'm more of a bit of a grump. I mean, I didn't wake up this morning thinking, woo! It's Sunday, let's go sing praises with the Lord's people. That's not how I woke up. I don't know if you feel like that. You might feel like you've got the inexpressible and glorious joy. What's interesting, as we think about singing and singing together in church and worshipping in that way, we're not called, praise the Lord, to summon emotions. We're not called to summon up a sense of joy. We're not called to create an atmosphere of awe within inside ourselves. We are called to sing his praises. Don Carson, a theologian, says this: a worship is the proper response of all moral, sentient beings to God, ascribing all honor and worth to their creator, God, precisely because he is worthy of worship, and delightfully so. So singing to God is our proper, our fitting, right response to God, to worship him in song. It's interesting when we use words and we talk, sometimes we don't even define what we're talking about. And I've just taken for granted you all know what singing is, okay? And just in case you don't, as I've quoted Don Carson, I'll now quote from the Elf movie, from the Elf. And this is his description of singing. Singing, it's just like talking, except longer and louder, and you move your voice up and down. There you go. That's what singing is. Okay? And it would be nice if that we sang in that way. Loud, wouldn't it? It's good that when Elizabeth, when she rejoiced over the baby that was in Mary and that Mary had faith, loudly she proclaimed. Do you see that? Loudly she shouted out, didn't she? It's good news. It's something to rejoice in. Now, as we think about this, as we think about singing and singing in praise to Jesus, let's think of some excuses. Some of these excuses have been my excuses in the past, actually, especially when I was younger, when I was a teenage boy. I felt this, like this. I don't like singing. You ever been in that place? I don't like singing. So sometimes that's been my fault. That's an excuse to not praise Jesus in song. I don't like singing. Well, in the Bible, it's actually a command to sing and to gather to sing praises to Jesus. There are 50 direct commands in Scripture to sing praises to Jesus, to God. Singing is referenced 400 times. Do you know what the biggest book in the Bible is? Go on, kids, have a guess. What's the biggest book in the Bible? Psalms, you're right. It's Psalms. And what is Psalms? A songbook. A songbook. So Christians are called to sing, to rejoice. Also, in rejoicing, as you go through the Psalms, there is mourning, isn't there? We sing because we've got Jesus, but often we don't feel like singing. So it also connects with the things that are wrong in life and the sin and the suffering and grief that are picked up in song. So we sing praises to Jesus as an act of worship. We might not like it, but that's what we're called to doing. But also, I believe, God likes it. God likes it when we sing to him. It's something he likes. It's something he enjoys in. It's something he listens out for. And when God likes something, what can we know about it as humans? It's good for you. It's good for you. Vegetables. Yeah? I'm sure some of you are going to eat your vegetables tomorrow, yes? Yeah? And what you're going to do, though, is you're going to take that Brussels sprout and you're going to smother it in so much butter and wrap it in so much bacon that it's not really going to taste like a sprout. And that's what you do, isn't it? But vegetables are good for you, aren't they? Greens are good for you. Wow. Exercise. That's another thing that's good for you, isn't it? Yeah? Who's done their exercise this morning? I've not. Who did their exercise yesterday? I didn't. Wow. Cleaning. It's good for you to live in a clean environment. Yeah? Especially good to clean your bathroom. Especially when you've got guests coming. So these are things which are good for you. But actually, they take a bit of work, don't they? Oh, let's just have a microwave meal. Oh, let's just have some chips. No, vegetables are good for you. Let's just sit on the sofa and watch movies. Now, exercise is actually good for you. Oh, I can't bother to clean the bathroom. It's going to be mouldy if you don't clean the bathroom. Singing God likes it. I'm not sure what he thinks about vegetables. Well, I know in some part of what he knows about vegetables in Scripture, but we won't go into all those other areas. But what we do know about seeing is he likes it, and it's good for you. Oxford University did some research on singing, and this is what they said about singing. And they said about it's not just singing like in the bathroom or on your own or next to the radio, but when you come together in community to sing together, they're talking about. Here was what they said. It improves your sense of well-being. It improves your mental health to sing corporately together. It improves your immune system. Isn't that marvelous? It improves your immune system. And the last one, which is strange, it gives pain relief. Wow, isn't that amazing? So the next time you've got a headache, say, can we all gather? We need to sing. Well, no, I'm sure this is like in a sense of your general health, it's probably improving across the board in that way. Do you know, we're commanded to gather and we're commanded to sing and to sing praises to Jesus. You're not commanded to be any good at it. Isn't that a relief? You're not even commanded to be tuneful. You're commanded to sing. I say volume is preferable over quality. And I think the Lord thinks volume is preferable over quality. He's got angels he hears in heaven. He ain't going to be bothered by your voice, is he? It's the heart from which it flows, not what the sound is like out of your mouth. That's what he hears. So we sing as an act of worship towards God, primarily Godward. God loves to hear his children sing. And it's good to sing alone. It's good to sing in our families. But God especially loves it when we gather together to sing praises to him. Here's what Colossians says about it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is a corporate you he's talking to. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So we sing as an act of worship to God. First point. Then the second point, we sing as a means of discipling one another to become more like Jesus. So singing is an act of worship towards Jesus, but when we sing, it actually teaches one another about Jesus and helps us become more like Jesus. So Mary's song, which we had read, is full of the Bible. It's full of themes from the Bible. Now, as I said, as we sing together as an act of discipleship, becoming more like Jesus, this point comes with an asterisk. And the asterisk is, Gwen's going to tell us. No, the asterisk is that you have to sing good biblical songs. If you're singing nonsense, it's not going to help us know more about Jesus, is it? But as we sing good, rich, Bible-based songs, it will teach us of Jesus. Songs that speak of God and his salvation. Songs that shape our theology and our thinking. And as you look at Mary's songs, it's like that. Mary's song in Luke 1 is full of biblical themes. A guy called Andrew Fletcher, a Scottish writer and politician, he said this, "Let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who makes its laws." Let me care not about who makes the songs of a nation, the laws of a nation, but I'll shape a nation by song. And people in the church have felt similar. It's more important than what's in our hymns and in our songs than what's in our theology books. Because all of us will sing as we gather, hopefully, but all of us will read these books. Mary's song is full of rich biblical themes. So verse 50, she says, that the fear of the Lord, she sings the fear of the Lord, awareness of his awesome glory and power, and a sense of trepidation as I come before him, is a key to blessing. That's what she sings. And that's a biblical theme throughout all scripture. Verse 51 to 52, she says that God opposes the proud. God's against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It makes me think of Nebuchadnezzar. He was like the more than the president of America. He was like the king of a vast empire, Babylon. And he had all power. And he did as he pleased. But God humbled him to a place where he acted like an animal and ate grass. God humbles the proud. So think of Daniel in the lion's den. He also gives grace to the humble. Here is Daniel just doing his job, And he gets put into a den of lions for doing his job, for praying three times. And the gracious God gives grace to the humble. He didn't push for a position, but there he is in the lion's den. The Lord shuts the mouths of the lions, and he gets lifted out of the lion's den and promoted. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. In this song, she sings, "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." It reminds me of the Israelites. They were eating manna, weren't they, in the wilderness. 40 years they got fed. No, 40 years they were traveling, but they got fed, didn't they, on this manna, which was like wafer honey. I'd like to try some manna. It's a shame, you know, you can try it. You imagine what that'll taste like. Sounds good. But even when they complained, what did he feed them with? Quail. Filled them with animals. Gave them meat as well. He gives the hungry good things. But it's more than that. It's a spiritual reality that this song is singing about. Think of Pentecost. Here they are gathered, hungry for God, and he pours out his spirit on them. He fills the hungry with good things. But then she sang, he sends the rich away empty. Reminds me of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and Jesus said, you must be born again. If you want to know the kingdom of God, you've got to have a new birthed in your life. You've got to come and lay your life before the Lord and give it to him, and he'll birth in you a new creation. Be born again. And he said, no, didn't he? I think I'm getting confused with my stories, aren't I, actually? I was Nicodemus, anyway. But the rich young ruler was told, that's why my mind's just done that, isn't it? But anyway, the rich young ruler was told to give it all the way to the poor, wasn't it, and say, come follow me. Anyway, you still must be born again, by the way. But the story I was thinking about is that, you know, and he went away sad because he didn't want to give up his wealth. And then she sings, "Send the rich away." God sends the rich away empty-handed. In verse 54 to 55, it's told, he keeps his promises. No word from the Lord will ever fail. So we sing to God as praise from our lips. And as we sing, it helps us become more like Jesus. Ultimately, we sing because we have a song to sing. When we come together, we're not like a choir singing. Why does the choir come together? They come together to sing. That's not the only reason we come together. When we do come together, we sing. And it's an overflow of our hearts in praise to Jesus. So this psalm reads like this. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. We sing worship, we sing praise, and it's an expression of truth. We sing as an expression of our unity. Literally, we're to sing from the same hymn sheet. Yeah? We have the same words, and what we might not be able to declare together and articulate in ourselves, songs give us words that we can stand behind and say, yes, we're all on the same page here. We all believe this. We all rejoice in this. We're all glad because of this. So, and then it declares our unity and expresses the truth. And it expresses our love. That's what songs do. They express love. If you think about what's the number one theme of songs, it's love, isn't it? And that's what song does. It expresses our love towards Jesus. So in song, there's sometimes poetic license, isn't there? So as we went through Mary's song, and we said, has God always fed every single hungry person? Or has this always happened? And we said, what about this? What about that? That's not the point. The point of a song is, yes, it expresses truth, but it also expresses the overflow of love which comes out of our hearts. But we're going to have a week of prayer in January. And in the week of prayer, one of the themes we'll have is our singing as a church, our sung worship. You might have noticed, if you've been here regularly, you might have noticed today, we haven't got any musicians playing today. And we've struggled with that arena of our church for years, it seems, doesn't it? Ever since I've been here, I've been 8 years. And then, on top of that, Hazel used to organise our songs into ones we knew, passed away, didn't she, in the summer. So it seems that were in a place where the songs that she had all collated, we all knew, yeah? And we knew where we were. And now we've got this distance system. Like some of these songs, we don't know where we are, do we, so much? We know what the words are saying, but we're just not as where we could be. So we want to pray. We want to pray to the Lord that he would help us in this area as one of our themes of the week of prayer. That he would raise up musicians from within us. He would send musicians to us. That we might grow in this arena because it's God loves it and it does us good. A last verse for you from Scripture. Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Lord. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we read this verse, it starts off by telling us to be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, sing. Sing psalms, sing song, sing spiritual songs, and make music from your heart to the Lord. In the midst of that, give thanks to him. Now, what comes first? It's the chicken or the egg sort of situation you've got here. Is it be filled with the Spirit? Then when I'm filled with the Spirit, then come the songs and the spiritual songs and the rejoicing and praising together. Well, if it was that way around, sometimes we might not start singing. We might be waiting until I don't feel filled. Have I been filled with God's Spirit yet? Nah, I'll sit down. The other way it might work is that we sing, and as we sing and as we lift our voice in praise to Jesus, God's Spirit comes to us and fills us in the midst of us singing praises to him. It's both. It's both. In this situation with Mary, she was filled with the Spirit. She was full of an overflow of love because of what God had set her apart for, and so a song burst out of her mouth. Other occasions that we might be praying or singing, and God comes to us by his Spirit as we sing and pray and fills our hearts. But what we do know, what do we need to do? Sing. You know what we need? We need to sing praises to our Saviour, and we need to keep at it because it's what God calls us to. It's what good for our hearts. It encourages others. It lifts up our understanding of who God is. God has given us a gift, the gift of song. He's also given us a reason to sing. We have a Saviour in Jesus Christ who has forgiven all our sins. Absolutely every single one of them. Have you ever felt guilty? Ever felt condemned? Ever felt, oh, why did I do that? Jesus doesn't see it anymore when you come to him. He washes it away. He cleanses it forever. Our sins, we are told, is taken as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? He can't, it's innumerable, isn't it? He keeps going and going. And he's taken our sins and he's plunged them in the deepest, darkest pit, in the deepest, darkest sea. He's washed us, even though our sins are scarlet as red, even though we're guilty for things that we should have done, things that we should have done that we haven't done, he washes us and cleanses us. So one day he's going to welcome us into heaven. Have you ever been welcomed somewhere? You know, have you ever been given, what's the best welcome you've been given? Where you felt really loved, really appreciated? Well, the welcome you're going to get when you go to heaven when you die is the welcome that Jesus would receive from the Father. Because his righteousness is credited to your account by your faith in him and what he's done for you on the cross. You're going to be welcomed with fanfare into heaven. Your spouse might not welcome you home. Your children might not hug you when you get home. You might not get a welcome even from a church that you deserve. But in heaven, music will be played. You will be welcomed in because you have come as a beloved child of heaven. So therefore, we have a song to sing. And that truth is true even whatever's going on in our own lives. That's another thing that songs do. They lift us to another world to help us release us from the world of pain and suffering that we sometimes remain in. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, you've given us a song to sing. Thank you, you've given us a reason to rejoice. Help us, we pray, to praise your holy name. Help us to grow in our worship as your children, we pray. Amen.